The amazing story includes this passage that describes what Sulugup is trying to tell us is the relationship between this demon and this man who is possessed by his ambition. This passage comes after Piridonov commits another act of murder. He kills a bedbug. But he is so taken with the power and the thrill of taking the life of another creature that he melts into a sort of ecstasy over the act of killing another thing. Sulugup writes this. The insane terror inside Piridonov had fashioned a willingness to commit crime. His depraved will was being oppressed by this state of primitive malevolence, by the depressing urge for murder, by the dark notion of some future murder lurking in the nethermost regions of his spiritual being. Though still constrained, it found satisfaction for itself in the fact that he broke and spoiled things, chopped things with an axe, cut and hacked down trees in the garden so that spies couldn't peek out from behind them. And in the destruction of things, the ancient demon established itself. The spirit of prehistoric confusion, decrepit chaos, while the savage eyes of an insane man reflected the terror which resembled the terrors of monstrous torments on the periphery of death. Aren't you happy you came to church this Sunday morning? Just a little light reading, light topic. But it's appropriate not only for the first Sunday of Lent in which we hear this remarkable passage from the Gospel of Luke, the temptation of Christ, but it's also appropriate for us to be discussing this serious topic given the events that are happening in the world right now. In the gospel, Jesus is tempted by the devil, and yet he resists this temptation. As Jesus goes out to fast, the devil first appears to him, offering him the ability to end his fast, to turn a stone into a loaf of bread so that his stomach might be filled. But Jesus says no. Next, the devil offers him ultimate authority and power in the world, worldly power that no other person could have known. And Jesus again says no. Finally, the devil snatches Jesus up and places him on the pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem and offers him all spiritual authority in the world if only he would accept the devil's authority. And to this, Jesus gives a resounding and emphatic no. This passage from the gospel sounds like it could be a fairy tale or a parable. It sounds like there's magic going on here, something fantastical. But if the devil in the gospel passage is as real to Jesus as we think he could be, is this not the same thing as the petty demon that appears to Piridonov? Is it not possible that for Jesus, these events were real, that the devil was tempting him in these ways and offered him these things? And that in fact, Jesus, unlike Piridonov, resisted temptation and said no. And in doing so, put away all pettiness and instead embraced the ultimate good, the same good that he would bring to us, the source and the foundation of our own salvation. Is it not possible that this gospel passage is absolutely true? Because we see it playing out in world events right now. So much of the reason this war is happening in Ukraine is because of the petty demons that have plagued a society for generations in Russia, and that in particular are plaguing one man, one person who has ordered all of this death and destruction. It's not by coincidence that I chose a text from Russian literature. Russians have known of this phenomenon for generations and generations. They understood what a petty demon truly is. Unfortunately for them and for the rest of the world, those demons seemed to have taken hold. For so long, there was rhetoric in this country and around the world about what a genius leader Mr. Putin was. A mastermind, someone who had complete control over his own country, who understood how to take power. Of course, even as recently as last week, he was admired by the former president, precisely for these traits. And yet, if you dig a little bit deeper into his own biography, you can tell that much like the main character in The Petty Demon, Piridonov, Putin actually is quite a mediocre person. The journalist Masha Gessen wrote a remarkable biography of Putin called The Man Without a Face, The Remarkable Rise of Vladimir Putin. In it, she describes how he rose from relative obscurity in the KGB. He, at the time of the collapse of the Soviet Union, was just a field officer out in East Germany. And he all of a sudden found himself not having any relevance in his society, because the thing that he had been doing, working for the KGB, was no longer valued by the new Russian government. He returned to Russia and engaged in a years-long effort to ingratiate himself to the authorities and the powers that be. There's a humiliating story that Gessen writes about. Putin finds out that there is a party for the baptism of the daughter of one of the highest officials in the Russian government, and he hasn't been invited. He asks someone where the address of the party is, and he shows up with a large bouquet of flowers, hoping to be admitted into this party where all of these people are hobnobbing. Friends, these petty demons are real. They existed not just for Jesus, and not just for characters in literature, but for real people, flesh and blood, people at the pinnacles of power in our world. But let us not be deluded. The petty demons plague us as well. We know what it feels like when these demons visit us. We know the sense of unease, the temptation that comes to us. We become overwhelmed with the urge to do things to make ourselves feel better, to relieve that sense of insecurity that those demons remind us of. They appear to us in so many different ways. In our jealousies, in the wrongs and the slights that we feel from others that we can hold on to for years and years, in our own sense of insecurity in the face of other people. Notice that whenever you have these feelings, the first urge is to think that it's someone else who's causing it to you, to make you feel that way. It's the thing that she's doing that makes you jealous. It's the thing that he said that hurt you. It's the thing that they did that made you feel bad. But in reality, it's us. We are the ones who are wounded. We are the ones whose expectations have not been met. And in order to allay just a little bit of that pain, we imagine demons in the world haunting us, taunting us, attacking us. And that is why, as it says in the Holy Gospel, we must do everything in our power to resist the power of those demons and to turn instead to our Lord. This Sunday, we begin the journey of Lent, this holy and frightening season. Holy because it bids us to return to God. Frightening, because in order to do that, we must face down our demons. Lent is the time for us to begin to recognize the demons that are around us. And I invite you in the days to come and in the weeks to come to notice those moments when you think that someone else is doing something wrong to you and how you feel. And then I invite you to sit with that pain, no matter how difficult it may be, to allow yourself to feel it, to realize what wounded and vulnerable creatures we really and truly are. Because that is the only way we can follow in Jesus' footsteps and resist temptation. Look at what he did in order to turn the devil away. He sat out in the wilderness for 40 days, fasting, eating nothing, praying. He understood how difficult it was to resist the devil. And then when the devil came to him and offered all of these things, he simply said no. But the reason for that wasn't that he had gathered up all of this strength and was engaged in some kind of spiritual warfare. No. He did it because he had embraced his own vulnerability, his own weakness, his own mortality out there in that desert. And it was that, connecting with his own woundedness, that gave him the strength to say no. Friends, in this season, we must do the same thing. We must resist the temptations of the petty demons that haunt us. And as we do so, we not only heal ourselves, but we heal the world around us. Things like are happening in the news right now, people like Mr. Putin, are just an avatar, an icon for us, of how we also can become monstrous when we allow our demons to get the best of us. This is not what God created us to do. This is not who God created us to be. God created us to walk in the light, to be the children of God, to be together as one family, and yet we can only do it if we resist those temptations that would drive a wedge between us as a human family. And it all begins with us. This is Lent. This is the time to do this work. You have the strength and the power to do it, because God has given you that strength and power. So friends, be brave. Be strong. Face down your demons. And when they tempt you, say the same thing that Jesus said to the devil when he himself was tempted. No. No, I will not. Because there is only one God, and in God is all goodness and all authority. Amen.